Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
All right, so last week we discussed why falling is not failure. This week, we're going to identify the kind of friend that we need when we fall and the kind of friend we need to be for others when they fall. And so we're going to call this week a friend for the fall, a friend for the fall. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 9. In the NLT, it says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, the scripture teaches us that we are better together. We were built for relationships, and our best chance at experience successful breakthroughs is at least when we have one other person with us. Now, thank God for our spouses, right? Because I love having that at least one other person, that one other person for life. And one time for keeping each other warm, right? Amen, amen. All the brothers said amen. The sisters said amen. Now, all together, there's something about having somebody, a ride or die, a BFF, a bestie, right? The spiritual battle is real and Satan is on the attack, and having a brother or sister who you know is fighting with you and who is fighting for you, that is so important for breakthrough. We can't do it alone. We have to do it together. But this scripture says it's even better to add a third. That's when we have a team. And now we at The Path, we're huge fans of teams, right? That's why when we are helping to make disciples, to help somebody learn how to follow Jesus, we study the scriptures out with them and talk about their lives in small groups so that it doesn't fall on just one person to meet the needs of another person. It's really hard when there's one person that has to bear somebody else's burdens by themselves. And that's also, you know, important when it comes to marriage, right? Because it's really hard for a spouse to take everything from their spouse. That's why it's so important for us to have our own friends that we can talk to and we can share our feelings and not burden our spouse with everything. Yes, they need to know how we're doing, what we're going through, but our spouse can't be the end all be all. We all need a team. Now, one of my favorite parts of the Karate Kid breakthrough video is Big Boy. Big Boy at the bottom of the screen. He grabbed little man by the collar and yanked him up. Did you see that? That's my man. Big Boy is who all of us need in our lives, and Big Boy is who we all need to be for other people. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Let me tell you, Big Boy was born for that time. He was born for adversity. He was made for the moment that his little buddy would fall. And first, he yanked little man up. But later on, you see him, you know, slapping the mat. You see him starting the chant to keep him going. Man, I love Big Boy. I love Big Boy. We all need somebody that's going to yank us up by the collar sometimes and say, nope, you're not staying down. Let me tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to give up. We're not going to go back to the world. God loves you too much, and he ain't going nowhere. I'm not going nowhere. I'm here for you. You know, there's an incredible amount of security when we gain a conviction on how much we're loved by God, and when we truly believe that our friends will be there for us when we fall. It frees us to fall, to take risks, and it strengthens us to help us get back up again. Proverbs 18:24 says, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." See, it's important to choose our friends wisely. You know, that's something that we have the power to choose. We get to decide who we are close to. And it should be somebody that has proven themselves to be reliable. But at the same time, we got to be those persons that prove to be reliable, prove to be trustworthy, because we reap what we sow. And I'm going to tell you what, it's so important, right? I mean, I think that sometimes we allow our friends to become our friends in a very passive way. It just becomes who's around, or it just becomes who we may go to church with, who we grew up with. When really God says, no, he who walks with the wise grows wise, and he gives us that option to choose. And so it's very important, as it says in this scripture, that, man, if you have unreliable friends, it's a good chance you're going to come to ruin. Why? Because that friendship is so important when we go through hard times. We need a true friend and a group of friends for when we fall. We need somebody that's going to stick closer than the brother, a sister, a sibling. And speaking of siblings, let me tell you, I got some ride or die brothers. I got some ride or die brothers, man. Growing up, we had to have each other's back. And I'll never forget this story, man. When I was growing up, I was a little skinny Puerto Rican kid, had my glasses, but I thought I could play sports. So I didn't care. I was out there playing. And I remember being in this little area behind our apartment where we would play football, and really we played tackle football. We ain't playing no two-hand touch. We played tackle football, right? No pads, no nothing. And so things would get pretty intense. And, you know, I was small, but then my younger brother, Javier, he was even smaller because he's about 2.5 years younger than me, right? But we were out there, you know, doing our best, right? Balling out. And I just remember these games would get intense, right? And my next door neighbor, Big Boy Joey, well, we called him something else, but, you know, everybody had a nickname in the neighborhood. So anyways, he was big for his age. You know what I mean? He was about, you know, definitely about twice the size of me, you know? And so, but we didn't care. We were having fun. Well, one time it got heated, and I remember I was talking trash to him. My mouth got me in a lot of trouble when I was younger. Thank God, through the Holy Spirit, God is using this mouth for good now, but he used to get me in trouble. And so I'll never forget that he slapped me. Wow. And I had glasses, and so my glasses went flying. And whenever that happened, that would just, because that's not the first time it happened, but I would just see red, right? And so I charge him, I jump on him, I try to tackle him, and then all of a sudden my brother comes in, wow, and we get up to the ground, and we're rolling around, and we're punching, and we're in an all-out brawl, right? And there's a lesson in that, right? Like, I didn't have to ask my brother to jump in. I didn't have to ask for help. Like, there was no question that he was going to have my back in that moment. And, you know, I just wish that as Christians, we would have that same tenacity when it came to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that as we're going through stuff, that we're going to get right there in there with them to help them in any way that we can. But the story doesn't stop there. You know, in some way or another, he rolled around, we rolled around, and he got up, right? And we got up. And we knew that we didn't really have a chance at that point to go mano a mano with him at that point. And so he starts coming at me, and I turn around and start running. I start running. I run around the other apartment building, run around. He's still running around. So I run back to the house, come in the back door. And my mom's boyfriend was there. And I'm like scared, probably crying. I was crying at that point. Because I was mad. And he's like, "What are you doing? Get back out there." So he yanks me. He opens the door, yanks me by the shirt, takes me outside. Then he walks over, and there was this rod. This, I don't know why, this random rod in apartments is coming out the ground. He pulls this iron rod out of the ground, and he hands it to me. And I'm like, This rod was like twice the size of me. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this? Like, I'm going to kill this kid? Like, what do you want me to do? But man, I grabbed that rod and I stood there and I held my ground. And big boy Joey decided he was going to go and he wasn't going to fight me at that point. You know what I appreciate about my mom's boyfriend in that moment was that not only did he yank me and say, you don't get back in the fight, he gave me the tool I needed to be successful. Can I get an amen, church? Come on, Chase is back there feeling it. Amen. So he gives me that. And so what I need that, like I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful when people not only tell me what to do, but they equip me with ways to be successful. They put the sword of the spirit, the word of God in my hand and in my heart and in my mind and say, okay, now you can fight, right? They give me the scriptures that I need and they share their experiences and they pray with me and they pray for me. And they're not just telling me what to do, but they're helping me to get there, helping me to experience breakthrough. Some of us, we love to preach. We love to preach, but will we take the young Christian and have a quiet time with them if they're having a hard time reading their Bibles, right? Will we take the young Christian with us to serve if they're having a hard time with selfishness? Will we go by and take that young Christian with us and say, listen, let's go help somebody else become a Christian. Why don't you join me in this Bible study time that I have with my friend who is seeking God? Like, we need to bring people with us if we're going to be the friends that God is calling us to be. It's easy to tell people what to do, but it's a lot harder to practice the Jesus model. He taught his disciples, he showed his disciples, and he gave them the opportunity to live it out while he was there with them. And then he sent them out. And he said, go for it. And that's what we're about, right? We're about mobilizing the next generation. But we can't mobilize by just preaching at people, telling them what to do. We have to show them. We have to train them. We have to bring them along with us. You know, this pandemic has showed us who our closest friends are, I believe. I mean, in many ways, our circles got smaller, right? Who did you make time to see? Who did you make sure that you were going to get time with and hang out with, right? Who did you make sure that you were going to encourage and be encouraged by? Who did you decide that you were all in with? Hey, if you get it, I get it, but I got to see you. Like we got to hang out because I need this for me. I need this fellowship to do well spiritually. You know, I gotta confess, there's been times, you know, I done hugged a few brothers, you know, in this pandemic. I just had to, like, not a lot, but there's moments where it's like I'm all in, like, because it's been tough, right? And so our circles have gotten smaller, but God has showed us, man, who we can depend on, who our reliable friends really are. And I don't mean to make light of anything. But it really is like we all decide what we're going to risk and who we're going to risk it for. And those people that we're willing to risk it for probably goes to show you that those people may be your closest friends. And that's a beautiful thing, because I believe that our relationships in this church are stronger than ever. Now, as we wrap up, we look at this video and we see little man. He was shook. There was a point he was shook. I mean, he panicked. He just knew that he was in over his head. And we're gonna learn from that moment next week. But you know, while he was crying and doubting whether or not he could break through the wooden board, it seemed like everybody else in that room believed. Everybody else believed in him, from his sensei to his peers, the parents. They all believed in him. And you know, when we have people in our lives that believe in us, it makes all the difference, because we're able to see a glimpse of how much God believes in us. Now, as we close out, I want us to remember that Jesus believes in us. He proved that on the cross, right? He said that perhaps they would respond, that perhaps we would respond to his love and his sacrifice. And he believed that, and he believed that, he trusted that, hey, this is worth it. If even one person makes a decision, it's gonna be worth it. And now his spirit is the one who is always there to reach out, yank us up, and be that friend when we fall. We get an example of that when we see Jesus and his interaction with Peter. We see that when Jesus was walking on water and everybody was panicking and scared and there was a storm happening, and Peter says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come out the boat and come to you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter steps out of the boat and walks on water. He steps out on faith in that moment and starts walking towards Jesus. But he panicked. He panicked. And he looked around and he saw the waves and the wind and the storm. And he started to sink because he took his eyes off of Jesus. But it's in that moment that Jesus shows up. He reaches down. And he pulls Peter back up. He yanks him back up. And in that moment, he proved to Peter that he would be that friend that sticks closer than a brother, that reliable friend that was born for adversity. I want us to remember that as we take our communion. I want us to be grateful for that as we pray right now. Father God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for his life, his death, and his resurrection. But thank you for the example that he set on this earth on just how to be a friend. I mean, I just look at that story and I'm just so inspired by the fact that Jesus did not let Peter drown. And I know that that same spirit is not going to let us drown. It's going to continue to pick us back up. And sometimes he's going to use our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ and to pick us back up when we fall, Father. And I pray that, God, that you will place people in all of our lives that are going to be that friend that we need when we fall, Father. But I also pray that we will be that friend that other people need as well, as we imitate the heart of Jesus, and that we can be the type of friend that is willing to lay our lives down the way Jesus laid down his life for us. And so we celebrate Jesus right now, God, and we celebrate his broken body that is represented by this cracker that we're about to take, and the blood that was shed for our sin that represents the forgiveness for us, God. And God, we just thank you so much for grace. We just thank you so much, Father, for forgiveness. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.